I know what you're thinking. Why ever is George on the platform with a long black dress and a big white blouse? Well, the reason is I'm going to tell the boys and girls, and I'm glad a few more have turned up. I'm going to tell the boys and girls a story which is true about myself. But that won't come until a bit later on. So get ready for it. We're going to hear a story today from the Bible, which is an amazing story. There are lots of them in the Bible, aren't there? This is a particular one that we're going to be concentrating on this morning, and Sharon is going to read for us the story from the Bible. Thank you, Sharon.
Luke chapter 5:17-26. Jesus heals a paralytic. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow? Who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen a remarkable things today."
So I hope you agree with the people on that day. We have heard this morning of a remarkable thing, an amazing miracle. We're going to be looking at that miracle in a little bit more detail. And I hope you'll excuse me, I want to try and modernize it a little bit so that it makes a bit more sense to us today. So we're talking about what we think was probably four friends. It doesn't actually say there was four, but as later in the story you will see them carrying someone on a mattress, that sounds as if it needs like four people, one at each corner. We don't know their names, and I'm not going to give them names this morning because you'll probably forget in any case, but they were particularly concerned for their friend, who again doesn't have a name, and I thought it'd be nice to give him a name this morning. So we're going to call him Mark. And Mark, as you know, is a paralytic. In other words, if the boys and girls don't know what a paralytic is, he's laid on a bed and he cannot stand up at all, ever. So he's very, very ill, and his four friends really are concerned for him. Now, the four friends had heard that there was some exciting news. Jesus was coming to town, and they were really keen to find out just who this Jesus was. They'd heard amazing stories, not only about his preaching, but about his wonderful miracles. And so they wanted to try and get to see Jesus. The trouble was, their friend Mark was laid on that mattress, and in no way could he get up and walk to see Jesus. And they were very sad about this. They realised that Mark wouldn't be able to come with them, or at least not to be able to walk. And so they tried to think of what they might do. And I thought we might just imagine something that they might have done. They might have said to Mark, "Mark, we've heard that Jesus is in town and he's speaking and maybe even causing some miracles. We're ever so sorry, Mark. We realise you can't get up and walk with us. But don't worry. We've been to Morrison's and we've got one of those ready-cooked meals. And we're going to put it by your bed with a bottle of orange. And we've seen the neighbour next door and she said 12 o'clock she'll come in and put it in the microwave and you'll be able to have a nice hot meal. When we've seen Jesus and what he's been doing, we'll come back and we'll tell you all about it." That's what they might have done. But they didn't. And the reason they didn't was because they were determined that they would get Mark to see Jesus. Now, I've chosen a text for this morning. I'm hoping it's going to go up on the screen there. Luke's four friends were determined to get Luke to meet with Jesus. Now, I have a confession, Pastor. It is not from the Bible. Sorry about that. It's actually the George Hyder text, but I think you'll see by the time we get to the end of our thoughts this morning, it really sums up what this message is all about. Luke's four friends were determined to get their friend Luke to meet with Jesus. And so, because they said he wouldn't be able to walk, they made a decision. And the decision was, we would carry him on his mattress. Now, that wasn't an easy thing to do. Just imagine four people trying to I don't know where Jesus was, whether it was the other end of the street, whether it was the other end of the town or whatever. But they were determined to get Mark to meet with Jesus. And so they decided they would get up and they would carry him on his mat. They did this. They got to the house where Jesus was and they were shocked. The place was just absolutely crowded. There was no way in which they could push their way through the crowds to get Mark to sit right at, or rather to lay right at Jesus' feet. What were they to do? Well, I tell you one thing they might have done. They might have said to Mark, "Look, Mark, you can see the problem. There's no way in which we can get you through that crowd. So there's a nice tree there, and it's in the shade. And if we lay you down under that tree, right, we've got some lovely sausages, some lovely sandwiches, rather, from Tesco's, and another bottle of drink, and we'll go and hear what Jesus says, see what he does, and later on in the day, we'll come out and tell you." That's what they might have done. But they didn't. They were determined to get their friend Luke to meet with Jesus. And so they came up with a plan. They would try to get Mark on his mattress up the flight of stairs that is on the outside of buildings in that country. They have flat roofs and a set of stairs that go on the outside. We might get a picture of that on screen. And you'll see what they thought they might do was to carry Mark on his mattress up the stairs and onto the flat roof, and you'll wait and see what happened after that. The trouble was, to get Mark...
It's you're either Luke or Mark.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mrs. Hyder. Thank you. It's Mark we're talking about. So if I say Luke, you can say, no, you mean Mark.
It's on the text.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. Yes, it is Mark. I decided Mark, but I got the text. Okay, thank you for that. So up the stairs. Just imagine these people trying to get Mark up the stairs. Do you know, boys and girls, you might be interested in this. People living in this country where we're telling the story from, where Jesus used to live, they used to have long dresses like mine. Let me see a picture of it, Roy. Long dresses, and they were going to try and carry this man on a mattress up a flight of stairs. Oh, by the way, I said I'd tell you a story that was true of me, didn't I? Let me just leave these folk on the side. You can see their long cloaks, just like mine. And we'll come back to them in a moment, but let me tell you my story. Some of you will know that I used to work in the London City Mission, and one of my jobs was to go round to other churches and to preach and also tell them what the London City Mission was all about. And I used to go to all sorts of churches. One of the groups were called Church of England, which is very, very special. If you look down the road, you'll see there's a lovely church down there. They've been doing some building around it. That's a Church of England. It's a lovely structure, just like this picture on the screen. And they were one of the churches that I had to go to. And sometimes when I went to the Church of England, the vicar, that's the bloke who's in charge, he would say to me, "Excuse me, Mr. Hyder, would you mind wearing a cassock and a surplice when you preach, please?" And I could do nothing but say, "Yeah, okay, fine. If you give me a cassock and surplice, I'll put it on so that I can preach." So here's this day, I've gone to the Church of England, I've put my cassock and my surplice, that's the posh name for these clothes, and I start to go up into what they call, I see it on the screen, a preaching place. Here, like this. Every Church of England, nearly everyone, has a lectern like this, a pulpit like this. And you have to walk up the stairs, then you get nice and high up, you can see all the congregation, you can see anybody who's looking at their mobile and reading their emails or dozed off to sleep, you can see them all. And they can see you, of course. So I got to the time to preach, and I went up to the stairs at the bottom, and I put my foot up the first step, and you know what happened? I got my foot stuck inside the cassock, and I couldn't get it out. So I thought, well, never mind, I'll go up another step with this one, and it'll be all right. So I went up another step, and oh, that same thing happened. I got that one stuck inside the cassock. And you know what happened? I fell over at the top of the stairs, on the floor. And the people out there in the congregation were laughing at me. But fortunately, I didn't hurt myself too much, so I got up. And I preach to them. So now, let's get back to that story. You know now what these four friends were going to try and do. They were going to try and carry Mark up the staircase on his mattress. So the mattress was like that. They were going to carry him upstairs like that. They had long cloaks on. My goodness, that must have been difficult. But you know what? They were determined to do it. Because these four friends were determined to get their friend Mark to meet with Jesus. So they get to the top of the stairs, and the Bible tells us then that there were some tiles. I don't quite understand this, but there were some tiles that they moved apart. I don't know how they managed that. I don't know whether they were fixed, whether they broke them or whatever. What I do know is the crowds down below must have been doing this. Whatever's going on up there? Because this flat roof and the tiles and the hole that they made actually looked straight down to where Jesus was. And these tiles are parted, and his four friends, I don't know where they got it, but they got four lumps of rope and tied it to each one of the corners. And then they let their friend Mark down, and you know what? He landed right at the feet of Jesus. Amazing. And their determination to get their friend Mark to see Jesus had been achieved. They'd managed it. That was amazing. I think they might have even said, "Whoopee!" So Jesus turned to Mark and spoke to him. And he said two things. Now I want the grown-ups to listen to this as well as the children. He said two things to Mark. First of all, your sins are forgiven you. And then secondly, get up from the mattress and walk. Let's take the second one first. That's exactly what Mark did. Jesus had the power to heal people. And Mark stood up for the first time for ages, rolled up his mattress the best he could, stuck it under his arm, and he was able to walk. That was fantastic. But I want you to notice, grown-ups, that the first thing Jesus did was said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And I just get the feel that that may be because Jesus had really seriously wanted to talk to people about the forgiveness of sins. We know from the rest of Scripture that forgiveness of sins that Jesus managed to secure on the cross is the way that our sin can be forgiven. We can become Christians. We can live a life that is joyful. And when we die, the Bible promises we will go to heaven. That was Jesus' first comment to Mark. And I believe that that could well be something that we need to take on board. Don't get me wrong. I think all the other things we do in church are great. Many of the activities that we do are really super. And it's really good to use those to bring people in and to get used to finding and making friends with them. But we must always remember the most important part is to share with these people what it means to have their sin forgiven and a place placed in heaven for them. That's what Jesus did. So this story tells us quite clearly that Mark's four friends were determined to get Mark with Jesus. I want to suggest that we could change that text. You could put your name in at the beginning, okay? And you could put towards the end your friend or your neighbour or a member of your family who's not yet a Christian. And you could say, George is determined to get my friends, my neighbours to meet with Jesus. That is something as a church we need to have as an absolute priority. And as you know, we have a series coming up called Christianity Explored. I'm going to stick my neck out. I think that series of seven meetings could well be the most important meetings that we shall have in our church throughout the whole year. If we can get our friends and our neighbours to come along to those meetings, to hear about Jesus, to have Christianity explored to them, absolutely clearly. It's a superb session, series, I can tell you. It's being operated all around the world at the moment. We have it coming here. Now, we have prepared some cards for that, as you know. But just before I tell you about those cards, another short story. Is that all right? It's very, very short, but it's true, okay? In my office back at home, I've got three bedrooms. We've got three bedrooms in our house, and I've turned the small one into a little office. And in my little office, I have this tray. And in the tray, there are lots of bits of paper. And the idea is that if I see an email that I need to reply to, so that I don't forget, I get a bit of paper out and I scribble, don't forget the email, and put it this, and put it on my desk. Or if perhaps I thought, oh, I must go and see so-and-so, I scribble it on a bit of paper and on my desk. Now, as you can see, these bits of paper are all white, nice for me to write on. But the strange thing about it is that some of them have some colours on the back. So there's one here that says Songs of Praise. Another one here that says a special Christmas fun day. Another one that says a fun day in 15th of June. Another one that says cream tea for cribs. Now I know what some of the grown-ups are thinking. George, you shouldn't be using those papers, those printed leaflets, as scrap paper. They cost a lot of money to get produced. Of course they do. But I can promise you that every one of those was picked up from the ledges, from the tables, all around the church, after the event had taken place. So they were waste paper. So now we have hundreds. Hundreds of Christianity Explored cards. They've been here for a few weeks, some of them have gone, but there are still lots and lots more. And I just hope that the story from the Bible, the determination of those four men to get their friend Mark to meet with Jesus, might encourage you to take some friends, some cards for your friends. We've got a little thing on the screen there that I think might be going up in the weeks to come. Just three quick suggestions. Neighbours down your street, the reason why you shouldn't pop a card through their letterbox. You never know. There may be somebody that you are not aware of it. They really would like to find out more about Jesus. Then, of course, there are members of your family. Some of you will have people within your wider family who are not yet Christians. Well, maybe you'd be bold enough to say, how about going to this series? And then I think Rachel, who is our missionary for evangelism, would say that around the church immediately, there are lots of houses of people who see our building, know something of what it's about, but have never been inside, and certainly don't know the story of Jesus and what Christianity is all about. So it's possible that Rachel may say, it would be good if we could pop some of these cards through the letterboxes of the streets immediately round us. There are literally dozens and dozens of people who walk through our gardens every week to get to work or to catch the bus. They enjoy seeing our flowers. It's a nice way to cut the corner off. But most of them probably have never been inside this church. They live, presumably, in this area round about. So why not try and get a card to them? So I say this morning to myself and to you, friends, folk here from SBC, if this series is going to be a series that will actually help people to understand what it means to be a Christian and to actually encourage some of those people to become Christians, maybe to join our church, we will say hallelujah to that. But we've got to get them there first. And I hope that when I put this pile of cards back, either in the hall when you're having coffee or some at the back there, you might think, yeah, I think I could take a dozen, 15, 20, 25 of those and put them to good use. Otherwise, George will be getting them after the series are finished, cutting them in two to make scrap paper for my memory. We're going to sing a hymn as we close. And I think you'll see the reason I've chosen this hymn. It's actually just to remind us that there is a world out there, right on our doorstep but further afield, that it is an absolute chaos. And we as Christians have the answer. Let's see if we can get that message out. Thank you.